just the title of this week's talk, and really it's just a bit of fun for any Marvel fans amongst you. You'll probably just recognise that it's a play on a recent Thor film that was released called Love and Thunder. And I thought, oh, that rhymes with love and wonder. But there is a little bit of reason to it, and that's that quite a bit of the talk will focus on the theme of love. But I did really find it quite difficult to prepare for this talk in some ways. It had been in the diary for a long time, and I kind of just thought at some point I might get an idea what I wanted to speak about, and it didn't really come. So I just thought, right, well, I'd better sit down and write something. This is sort of what I've ended up with, and I really didn't know what the title of it should be, so I just decided to have a bit of fun. In the end of it, I do think that I've got sort of some linking themes running through this, but I'm not sure, so I leave it up to you to decide on that. It's a lot of reflecting on recent experience for me and talking about some of the ways God's been speaking to me. The first thing that I want to talk about today is kindness. I've recently been reading a Bible study plan on the Bible app about the fruit of the Spirit, which I found really interesting, and if anyone is interested, I'd happily recommend that plan to them. But one of the days, obviously, they therefore touched upon kindness, and I'm just going to start by reading the description that the author gave of kindness in the devotional that day. Kindness is being genuinely kind to anyone and everyone. It assumes that all people deserve kindness, no matter the differences, viewpoints, or cultures. Kindness celebrates others and serves when there is a need. It looks out for the well-being of others and shows compassion when needed. It assists others and shows courtesy and benevolence to anyone. Kind people do not display animosity, ill will, or envy towards others. Now, obviously, that is just the author's description of kindness, but I thought it was a pretty good description. And it's quite a challenging definition if you listen to some of the words in there. I was left reading it thinking, am I that kind? You know, that's a lot of qualities that kindness displays. And I think that often I can sometimes view friendliness as kindness, you know, so long as I smile and I'm nice to people, then that's being kind. But certainly that challenges me to go a bit beyond that. You know, kindness is more than just being a nice person. And it implies that we should be kind to all people in all circumstances. And it suggests that we should be willing and ready to serve others. And it challenges us to be constantly loving, constantly on the lookout to support those in need. And as I said, it was the author's description, but actually it does sort of fit in biblically as well. And so my first passage today is from James 3, verses 13 to 18. And it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." So we see here that wisdom from heaven is shown in your deeds. We're challenged to live a life that is selfless and to show that we do not demonstrate selfish ambition. Now, it can be quite hard in day-to-day life to routinely be on the lookout for opportunities to be kind to strangers. You know, you don't come across a lot of strangers. So I think this principle also extends to those involved in your life because they're the people you see more. They're the people who you can display kindness more frequently to. I want to just give an example from my life where I think I've shown kindness, and in a bit I'm going to get you to do the same and maybe share some feedback, so be thinking as I sort of talk through these next bits. So I have a friend from work, and he lives on his own. He doesn't have very good connection to his family, the ones who are left alive. Quite a few of his family have sadly died. And particularly, he lost his mum a few years ago, and she was really his one person that he spoke to. And so when that happened, that hit him really hard. And in the school holidays, he would tend to have gone and visited her as well. So he found lockdown quite hard, you know, with that real lack of contact. Obviously, there was periods of in and out of schools. And once schools returned after the January 2021 lockdown, my work got quite strict on face masks at the time. And so he suggested, because he was living on his own and we sit opposite each other at work, he suggested that perhaps we form a support bubble, because he didn't have one, and then we wouldn't have to wear masks at work. So it suited both of us, and we were like, yeah, we'll do that. And that was his main reason for it. But since we were now in a support bubble, off the back of it, we said, okay, well, we'll have you around for a meal, which was really nice. And then from that, we started to regularly invite him round once a week, and he came each week throughout that term. Now, I should say that Emma and I both get on well with him, and the children now get on with him. Daniel warmed to him quite quickly. I'd say Poppy's only just got to the point where she doesn't just stare at him and then optimistically say, bye-bye. But yeah, now they've both accepted him as well. So, you know, he is a friend, but that's the sort of context. But over time, we realised how important it was for him to have this regular contact. And so we actually continue to have him around every week, wherever possible to this day, despite the fact, obviously, regulations went back to normal a long time ago. As I say, in part, this is friendship, and we're happy to have him round. But recently, I felt like God has really highlighted to me that this is a good example of being kind and kindness. You know, we're making the effort to set aside time in our week for him every week, and we're giving him the family connection that he needs. So, you know, it's just one time where God's been able to use us to demonstrate kindness. And then I've got another story as well. And I'm sort of beginning to flick into the theme of love now, as we sort of think about this. So a friend of mine from work has been going through a hard time. I don't want to share many of the details publicly, but to just give a bit of context, his mental well-being has not been very good, struggling with many aspects of life and work. And there'd been a bit of a workplace fallout amongst colleagues, sort of as a side effect of the difficulty with their well-being. And I found myself kind of caught in the middle of this situation. One morning, I was travelling into work and finding the situation quite hard. And I was on the last day of a Bible study plan entitled Faith, Hope and Love. And I came across this comment from the author that day. The call to love others came straight from Jesus, and love is best demonstrated in our relationships. It's not a do whatever feels right in the moment kind of love. Love is action. Truly loving others will be uncomfortable at times because it goes against our selfish human nature. But love seeks to build bridges, chooses to honour others, and shows respect for all people regardless of differing viewpoints. We most beautifully represent Jesus when we love people, for it's in these selfless acts that the world will see a saviour who's worth following. So I found this very encouraging at the circumstance. It definitely would have felt easier to kind of just separate myself from this conflict and not really talk about it and just let both sides not be getting on very well, because I wouldn't have to sort of address the issue directly. But I realised that the kinder and more loving thing was to attempt to actually talk to both sides and try and get some reconciliation for the sort of damaged relationship with each other. And of course that sort of risked my standing with each group by doing that. But God calls us to do things for the sake of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 13 says, and it's a very familiar verse, but I'm going to read it. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So acting in love is one of the greatest things we can do. It won't always make us feel comfortable. Sometimes not acting in love is much easier. It's also worth adding that it won't always lead to the outcome that you want. Sadly, the workplace conflict is still ongoing, and neither side has really reconciled the situation. But I'm confident that I acted in the way that God wanted me to actually attempt to resolve it. And sometimes I think it's just important that we feel that we've done that. So I'm going to pause for a couple of minutes and get you all to reflect on some of the points I've spoken about, and perhaps try and encourage each other or think about things that you could be doing. So, sort of linking to the stories I've been telling, can you think of a time when you've shown kindness to others? How easy was it to show kindness in this situation? And similar, but slightly different, can you think of a time when you've needed to act in love to another, even if it hasn't been the easiest thing? What was the impact of this action? So I'll give you a few minutes to chat and then maybe ask a couple of people to feedback, even if they feedback the other person's story because they don't want to tell their own. I don't mind. Okay, a few minutes to chat. Okay, if you want to wrap up your conversations there, going into teacher mode and trying to draw everyone back, focusing to the front. And we're slowly seeing the return. Okay, as you're finishing your conversations, I hope that you found that encouraging, you know, hearing hopefully some other stories of kindness and love. Perhaps you found it challenging as well. It would be good, and I would ideally not like to pick on groups, if you've heard a sort of encouraging story or you want to share your own story, could we just get a couple of groups feedback on either question? Go on. Great. So yeah, that was a story, for the sake of the recording, of a sort of friend in a similar situation to the person I described. They sort of brought them in, and part of it was the kindness was speaking truth and helping them to grow as a person, which is brilliant. Thank you. One other story that people were encouraged by? Go on. Okay, Dawn's story.
But she was saying there's a colleague at work from Azerbaijan, and this lady thanked her for being so welcoming to her. Whereas Dawn just assumed that's how you act with people. And yet, obviously, other people have not been kind.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so we've got a story there, a colleague from Azerbaijan, and they specifically thanked Dawn for their kindness and their welcomeness. And it's that realization of, oh, actually, maybe not everyone does that. And that actually, I'd say really nicely, leads into the next bit of the talk that I want to think about, which is living out kindness and love. Sort of thinking, well, how do we develop these qualities and how do we then sort of live them out in our lives? For me, one thing that I firmly believe has helped me sort of in my life so far to try and build out in my kindness and my love is trying to start getting to a much more regular habit of reading the Bible. I know that I've sort of highlighted before how beneficial I've found it, and I've advocated for things like use of the Bible app if you struggle to read the Bible. But it really has been a big boon. Of course, there are other ways we can do this as well. Encouraging one another, worship, prayer, other spiritual disciplines. But for me, reading the Bible has been a really big boon. And I pretty much now, thanks to the Bible app, got back to a point where even in the holidays when my routine normally falls apart, I'm generally finding the time to either immerse myself in a passage or a devotional with perhaps a linked verse. There's something to keep thinking about that every day. And so it's important we find our own spiritual habits to deepen our faith, remind us of the important principles to live by. Now, I have a little story associated with this, and I'd thought Emma wouldn't be in the room, and this would be slightly less embarrassing for me, but now it would be even more embarrassing for me, but hey, it's fine. So Emma and I recently decided one evening that we'd go through this like list of questions suggested to start a conversation, just to avoid chatting about the same mundane things as you sometimes get into a rut of doing. And one of them was, do you have a motto you live your life by? So Emma asked this question to me, and I sat there and I thought about it, and I said, no, I don't think I have a motto I live my life by. But on reflection, there is a Bible verse that really impacts my life, which I try and sort of act out. And I said, it's the one from Colossians. It's the one about trying to do all things as if working for the Lord. And I took a punt and I said, oh, I think maybe it's Colossians 3:18. And we carried on the conversation. I thought, I'm going to look it up. And I looked it up. And Colossians 3:18 is actually the Bible verse about wives, you should submit to your husbands. And I said, oh, I didn't mean that one. I meant Colossians 3:23. I thought of all of the Bible verses to pluck out from the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands I could choose. I say, oh, I live my life by wives, submit your lives to your husbands. okay, so, yes, you can just imagine how that went down. I've mentioned Colossians 3:23 before, but I'm just going to read it again. It's very meaningful to me. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. The first time I came across this verse, or at least I was conscious of it, was at a talk in my late teens. It was a teens talk at a Christian holiday resort in France, I think, if I remember. And I can still remember the time and the place, because it was really impactful to me. I'd say it's since had a very direct impact on the way I approach my studies, my work, and the way I attempt to serve others in communities that I'm a part of. But in this conversation with Emma, after we got over the previous issue, she pointed out to me that this has probably expanded. It's gone on to affect the way that I am in more aspects of my life than perhaps I'd thought. So it's probably why I've found it quite easy to have my work friend round each week through lockdown and beyond. And there are other aspects of my life as well where this principle, even though it started by directly affecting studies and work, actually it affects more of the things that I do. I'm going to get you to have a little think about that aspect of my talk and think about mottos for yourself. So this is very open. It may be that the answer to these questions is just no, and that's fine. But it could be interesting just to think about this with the person near to you for a few minutes. Do you have a motto which you live your life by, biblical or otherwise, or similar? Do you have any verses which you sort of think you often try and follow? And if you do, perhaps in your conversations, consider if that now maybe has a wider impact than you might have thought it did originally. Particularly if you have someone who knows you well, maybe they can say, oh yeah, you know, I've seen that aspect, which maybe you haven't thought of. If not, if you think, no, I don't have that sort of thing, do you think you could find a benefit from seeking out a biblical motto to live by? Do you think you might seek one out? So it's a very open question. I don't expect the conversation to be as long as before. The answer may just be no, 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 and we'll move on. But have a couple of minutes, have a chat, think about it. Okay, we'll just say another 30 seconds to a minute. As I say, I don't think there'll be as much conversation around this one. Okay, conversation seems to be wrapping up there, so that's absolutely fine. As I say, it may just be that if I pick on a couple of people, no one in the group had a motto or anything to say, but we'll see. We had some brave groups at the back, so I'll pick on the front for this question. This group over here of four, did any of you have a motto that you felt came to mind?
I didn't get one out, but I was saying that with my sort of upbringing, I was told a lot what to do, you know. Mm-hmm. It's quite a strict upbringing, so my mottos are not mine, they're my parents. One of them was procrastination is the thief of time.
Okay, great. So yeah, Rolf was saying there that he was had quite a strict upbringing. He was told what to think, so the mottos were sort of passed on from his parents. Procrastination is the thief of time. That's a good one. Very good. Someone from over here, a motto, if you had one.
Okay, yeah? Well, one thing that I did have is not so much a motto, mm-hmm. it's more key truth. Mm-hmm. It came to me in a particularly dull Anglican meeting.
Okay.
That is, God is in control.
God is in control.
And
key
that's
principle.
Come back to me in times when I've needed it, in a really amazing, miraculous way. That seeing it written down in Hungary on the back of a car when I got lost.
So I saw it in Hungary on the back of a car when you got lost, but it's really impacted and stayed with you. God is in control. You've seen.
Yes.
And yeah, that's really good. It's an example of, yeah, sort of something sticks with you and then you see it lived out. Did anyone else want to share a motto?
Yeah, it's not so much a motto.
Go on.
Mm-hmm. From the scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So I'm going to try to live by that.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Fantastic. Yeah. And hopefully, even if you found that question harder to answer, you've now heard quite a few mottos and principles people are living by. And that might encourage you to sort of think, oh, you know, are there any which really impact me? You know, any which are going to stay with me, even if you don't realise it yet. Now, it's really interesting, the God is in control one, because the last part of my talk, I can see the link, but it did feel a little disconnected to the first two parts, but it very much connects to that motto. And I wanted to talk a little bit about anxiety to finish off today's talk. And as I say, I think there is a link to the first two things I've been talking about. Now, for me, talking about anxiety, I actually find quite difficult. A few years ago now, it was not long after Daniel was born, I was diagnosed with general anxiety disorder. Thankfully, I saw a doctor and it's not particularly severe, and I was given good techniques to help me manage the physical symptoms, and also a change of workplace environment did help me further to manage the symptoms, but the mental symptoms still remain and still trouble me often. One which I'm particularly prone to is something called catastrophizing, which some of you may know what it means, but for those that it don't, what it basically means is that in almost any situation in my life, my brain will start to consider every possible outcome of the situation, and these will tend to get more extreme and unrealistic. This is an involuntary process as well, it just happens. And these will end up causing me great anxiety because one thing will happen and all of a sudden in my brain about 10 things have happened. I can't control them and it feels like the end of the world. And when it gets bad, it can be quite debilitating. It can really stop me from doing quite simple things. Now, I've read some really good material on anxiety, both secular and biblical. And one thing they agree on is that, of course, anxiety is natural and it's a regular part of life and it's not something that we want to avoid. It's how we let it affect us and how we deal with it that's important. So there's been a situation ongoing in my life recently. It's been causing me a great deal of stress, and I've had to work very hard on managing my anxiety around it. I've been relieved because God has given me guidance. I need to deal with the anxiety, even if I've still had to deal with the challenging situation. So I actively chose to start reading a plan recently entitled Anxious for Nothing on the Bible app. And it was actually really quite good and biblical. It was only a 5-day plan and it reminded me of some really useful stuff. And what's been really good about it in particular was that there was one passage which tied in with that and the other aspects of my talk today, I felt. So that was Philippians 4:4-9, and it says the following. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, sort of thinking about this passage, what it sort of indicates is the best way to deal with anxiety is to rejoice in the Lord always, that first phrase in the passage. So it's kind of been reminding me that really the best thing I can do is be thankful to God for all the things he's done in my life to date. How he's spoken to me recently, historically. And so then I'm filling my mind with thoughts of God. And it has then left me with that attempt at getting that sense of peace that God promises he will bring, you know, by dealing with the situation, trying not to catastrophize, and instead going, I'm going to actively seek to rejoice in the Lord and thank him for all of the things in my life, even if the current situation is hard. That helps me greatly. If things don't go the way you want, you've still been reminded of all of those good things that God has done for you. You know, your salvation, your eternal saving. And you can be thankful for your eternal future, even if at times things in your earthly one seem perilous, seem at risk. And of course, when things do go the way you hope, you can, again, rejoice in the Lord for that situation. But it doesn't really matter. Your focus is on rejoicing, not on the situation. And you can then do so from a place of thanksgiving. So, I've got a couple of closing questions. I won't ask for feedback on these ones because they're possibly a little bit more personal and also hopefully just to encourage one another as we finish. And sorry that I might have run a little early on time here, but this is where I want to end today. Discuss with the person near you. Is anxiety something you struggle with? Do you find it difficult? And if appropriate, it might be that you have a situation in your life that you want to chat to someone with and pray about it. Or equally, are there things you're thankful for, recent or historic, which you can thank God for? And if you're happy, again, Share one of these things that you're thankful with. Encourage one another. As I say, I don't necessarily want feedback on this. It's kind of just a chance for some closing discussion, maybe in groups. And then whenever it's an appropriate time, I guess we can break for tea and coffee. Thank you.